This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, back in studio keeping us on air. Our buddy Aaron taking care of us out here at Two Below's, and it is going to be a fantastic show. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on posts by others. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John E Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And a lot of topics to get to today. And I'm guessing one of them is probably going to be your Texans.
I would guess that'll be in amongst the conversation topics today. And the is it going to be an overreaction Monday? Is it going to be a?
I don't think it should be. I know that's going to be the first thing people want to talk about is, hey, we got to make a quarterback change. This dude was awful.
Right.
I may not have a popular opinion on that. I'm not so sure that. I think you have to kind of look at the whole thing in context. Yes, Hoyer was awful yesterday. He basically took away any chance they had to win the football game with two colossal turnovers. And what we talked about all along, that the kind of mistakes you can't make. And that the first one, I'm going to put as much on the coaching as him. What the hell are you doing running that play anyway from down there? Just run the ball a couple times. It's too early in the game for those kind of mistakes.
But that's another thing that we'll have to talk about is that they can't run the ball.
Every single guy they threw out there averaged at least 4.4 yards a carry.
Right, but they didn't consistently run the ball.
Because they didn't try. They got behind. Yeah. Part of that, you get behind, you're not going to be able to do much. And I also want to kind of tap the brakes on Ryan Mallett a little bit, because while he did look good and got him 10 points, keep in mind the score was 27-9.
Yeah, there was nothing exotic coming his way.
No, it was a prevent defense, and yes, he looked good, and he played much better than Hoyer did. But by then, the game was decided, and I know that they almost made it a possession game by recovering an onside kick. But the reality is, I don't want to.
Is that a moral victory Monday that's a 7-point loss?
No, I mean, because it really.
It wasn't a 7-point game.
No, it wasn't a 7-point game by any stretch of the imagination. That game was not close, and the score made it look like, hey, they made a nice little run. But the truth is, the Chiefs had the game won. They turned down both the offense and the defense. They just wanted to run out the clock.
Yeah.
And they knew it was going to take something sensational to beat them, and it didn't. So I kind of think it's too early to make the quarterback change, because if you do make it, then you've admitted you made a mistake already. And now, having said that, if Hoyer goes out there and sucks for a quarter next week, I'm not waiting until the fourth to put the other guy in.
Well, here's the thing, and I think they kind of opened themselves up to this. And people were asking me on Twitter all through the game, you know, if Hoyer keeps this up, do they let Mallett in for the second half? And then, you know, the halftime comes, they're like, when are they going to bring Mallett in this game? And I couldn't picture a scenario where they yanked Hoyer midway through the first game.
Yeah.
And then they did it. So they kind of opened themselves up.
I don't know about midway. It was pretty far along. Yeah, the game was decided by then.
But you don't pull the guy out and then expect him to have any kind of confidence going into next week. I thought that they were going to let that guy run it out. And if they made a decision, they would make it, you know, during the week and not feed into it. Now what they did is Mallett throws a touchdown against a prevent defense, and everybody thinks that he's all of a sudden the answer. If you leave him on the sideline, two things happen. One, Hoyer probably, you know, gets a little bit done against the defense they were running out at that point. And two, you don't make the backup look like all of a sudden he's better, because I assume Bill O'Brien still feels comfortable in his decision, you know, the decision that he made before the season started. I would assume that he's not going to see three quarters of football and go, ugh, and yeah, all that thinking and stuff we did, it was all wrong.
I don't think exactly, and that's why I don't think you can make that move yet, because if you do, now you look like you're just a total train wreck.
Yeah.
That you don't know what you're doing. That's what they look like. It is what they look like. But I think as far as – and then what happens if Mallett goes out there and sucks
and
for
he's
three
horrible.
Quarters?
Yeah, and then you got to put Hoyer in.
You're bringing a guy in that you've had to bench, and the players aren't going to have faith in him. It's you know, to me, there's just so much that can go wrong with making a move like that. But you're right. They created it. And when he said, well, we're not going to know who the starter is until Sunday, that's making it worse. And I do think it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you're a Texans fan, I think you saw, well, two things. You saw the Brian Hoyer we saw the second half of last year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the whole hope was that you would get better performance out of him because O'Brien, you know, O'Brien's system and all that. That was your hope. The other thing that I think stood out was that Chiefs defensive line dominated the Texans offensive line, and that's part of what caused their problems.
Yeah. I think the offensive line, and I thought this before the season, even more so now, the offensive line is terrible.
I'm not going to go that far. I just think they were going up against a very good defensive front that was very well prepared for them. And I think there were some coaching issues on both sides of the ball for the Texans yesterday that really took them out of any chance of being competitive in that game.
I think Jeff Adams getting shoved back into the quarterback. I thought Derek Newton had a bad game. I thought Brandon Brooks was okay until the end, and then he got clowned as well. I just thought it was a really rough game for a unit that I don't have much faith in to begin with and is completely void of depth. So even if they continue to be bad, nothing's going to change because there's nobody, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to continue to be bad. I think part of it was the team they were playing. They did not match up very well with the Chiefs and what the Chiefs were doing. And that's a concern because I do think they were out schemed a lot and the defense wasn't you've talked about this. It's going to be hard to have an elite defense when your offense can't stay on the field. And I think we saw a pretty good example of that yesterday. You can't put your defense in those situations that they did. And then when they do have a breakdown, like letting Travis Kelce run completely wide open on a play, it's exacerbated because you're
plays.
Not. Yeah, well, the big one was the long pass.
Right.
But where nobody was within 15 yards of the guy. It was just a complete blown coverage. Those things are going to happen, but they become exacerbated when you're not getting any help from your offense, and suddenly you can't make any mistakes. And you know, again, when you look at what Mallett did in the second half, you go, wow, okay, it gets prevent defense. Well, defensively, the Texans didn't give up any points either, but Chiefs were just kind of running the football. And
yeah.
There was a couple of plays, though, where I just – it was maddening to me on that third and 13 where there's – the only play the Chiefs are going to run is a screen pass. If you've watched the Chiefs at all, that's the only play they could possibly run in that situation. And the Texans are acting like they'd never seen it before. It was like, oh, come on, guys, can you not see this?
It seemed like the Texans didn't have an answer for or at least an answer for defending in the past, the running backs and Travis Kelce. I don't know if they – maybe they didn't take Travis Kelce seriously.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That guy's a player. And
boy, he's a big dude, too.
I think what they were running out there defensively, you know, Akeem Dent and stuff like that. Akeem Dent on Travis Kelce in coverage.
Yeah, that well.
You deserve what you get there. You know, and Akeem Dent trying to cover Jamaal Charles out of the flat. You kind of deserve what you get. It was just a poorly game-planned, you know, or at least a poor execution on the Texans' part because those are the two guys who are most likely to beat you in the passing game with this team.
Pretty much.
This is nothing new. I mean, everybody talks about the no Chiefs wide receiver since blah, 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 what, week 14 of 2014.
Yeah.
That
streak's not going to last too
it's
much
It's not going to last forever, but –
Macklin's going to score a couple for him.
But the reality is the Chiefs have always, well, not always, but recently have focused on running back and tight ends catching the football. And if I know that and you know that, doesn't everybody?
You would think. I want to throw one thing out there, though, and I want to remind you, we're at Tupelo's on Rayford Road here for the start of Monday night action with the big doubleheader, so come on out here. It's one of our favorite places. But I was very fortunate. I got some great tickets yesterday from some friends of mine, Tyler and Kim. I want to give them some love for giving me their seats. But it was right behind the Chiefs bench and surrounded by Chiefs fans. I have to say that's probably the best group of fans from another team that I've been around in all my time of going to games in terms of being – you know, being passionate about their team, but also being respectful of the people around them and not being dickweeds. I wish I could say the same thing about some of the Texans fans that were sitting next to them.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, you know, there's always somebody in every group. That group was really cool, I have to say. So if you're one of those Chiefs fans, props to you. You deserve a little credit. Well, there was a lot of good stuff that happened this weekend. We'll keep on the Texans. You guys want to get in? 713-780-3776.
There's probably some Cowboy fans who want to talk about their team.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that because that last-second touchdown put it over.
Yeah.
Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 975.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Manning up under center. Jennings in the backfield. Play action for Manning. Now scrambling, rolling back from the 15, and he'll just throw it out of bounds, out of the back of the end zone. Boy, Tyrone Crawford applying the pressure, and interesting play call there because it's a double plus for the Cowboys. It's an incomplete pass, stops the clock, and now the Giants' offense is staying on the field, and Tom Coughlin saying, no.
Yeah.
Let's take the three that we know we can get. Three wide left. Williams out to the right. Ball spotted on the near side hash. Now Romo walks up to the line of scrimmage. Waves his hands to his outside receiver, Beasley and Street.
Looks like the Giants are bringing three and dropping eight.
Romo barking out the signal. Four in the play clock. Down to three. Two. Gets the snap. Bobbles it. Steps up. Hangs. Fires. Pass. Touchdown, Cowboys!
Jason Witten.
Romo to Witten.
The decision to throw the ball there on third down was not a good decision, and it should have been a run, whether we scored or not.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN.
It was not a good decision, Fred.
No, it wasn't. In case
you were wondering. If it was a good decision or not, it wasn't.
I do want to let you know that you can hear most of the Cowboys games on our station, as a matter of fact, presented by All-American Berryman Products.
All right.
Sorry, I had to get that out of the way. That wasn't a good decision. Once again, tell you what, Tony Romo in the fourth quarter is a guy who is knows how to win games. Now, the bad news is Dez Bryant, they say four to six weeks. Sounds like it's going to be longer than that. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah, that's definitely not good. And they tried to wrap him up a couple times. He said it wasn't feeling right, and turns out he's got a broken foot.
Yeah.
That's a tough break for a team that just gave that dude a lot of money and let their stud running back walk away because they wanted to make sure they got him taken care of. And
yep.
Now he's out. And the reality is, Terrence Williams is okay. I mean, Cole Beasley's not a guy you want to count on. Is a guy to be out there every play. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing that happened to NFL teams around the league.
No.
Terrell Suggs blows out his Achilles. He's done for the year. That's a tough one to deal with. We still don't know the results on Andre Ellington, I don't think. But it's a lot of injuries week one. But Dez Bryant, definitely the most impactful player to be injured week one. And that's a big loss for the Cowboys.
But
at the end of the day, they get that win. And that's
the Giants certainly helped.
Oh, the Giants helped a lot.
With their clock management, but I'll tell you what. I heard some people complaining about the interference call. I thought it could have gone either way. I didn't think it was.
Oh, I thought that was a terrible call, but terrible PI calls happen all the time.
Yeah, and this is where I'm going to get on my horse again about – because there were two really bad ones that didn't go the Texans' way, and I don't think it impacted the game any. I thought they were dominated the whole way for the most part. But – pass interference should be reviewable, man. They said they've been doing it in the Canadian Football League for 2 years and doing it really well, and that's always a league that kind of tests stuff, and then the NFL does it. I don't know why they haven't moved to this yet, because those are game-changing plays.
No doubt.
And
especially ever since they stopped making it just a yardage penalty and it's a spot foul now.
Yep.
It's big.
Those can be 50, 60-yard penalties in the right situation, and I just think it's huge. I think that it just makes too much sense to me, and I know we've got too many reviews as it is, but I do think you've got to look at this. That's too important of a play, and especially when you're getting into judgment calls.
Yeah.
I think that's a real issue. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And 5 o'clock hour, we will go over every game in the league. So if you haven't heard anything about your team yet,
worry not.
It's the kind of things, once we get into football season, always on Mondays at 5, right at the top, we blast through every game. So we can get a little thought on everybody. Man, can I talk about how awesome my weekend was for just a second?
Sure.
I had one of the best weekends ever, not just because my gambling was through the roof. That helped. I missed one game all weekend, and that was the damn CFL game that I had right up until the end, and that was a minimum bet. Everything else I just crushed, and then I beat up the ponies yesterday afternoon.
Nice.
So I had the best weekend I think I've had in 2 years in terms of just pure volume.
Man, I had a really terrible Saturday. And
now I did get lucky. Backdoor cover from Rice. Backdoor cover on the over of the Cowboys. I'm not going to lie. But I'll take it.
Yeah, but my Sunday was very good. The Raiders were like my one big miss of Sunday, and everything else seemed to be working my way. So it was a really good Sunday. And, again, I'm hovering slightly over 500 since football season started, but I'll take that, especially – with the excitement of feeling like I've got a good handle on the NFL, that's a good feeling.
Yeah,
so.
Well, after 2 weeks of college, I feel pretty locked in.
Yeah.
So, but on Saturday, I had to give a little credit to University of Houston because nice win to go in and beat Louisville.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. We were watching the game with a bunch of friends, and we kind of had a guy who used to work for me at the Chronicle in town from Kansas City. He's a sports editor there now. So we kind of had a crime reunion with him and John McClain. We had an absolute blast. Watched the game. And then I made a bunch of money. So it was about as good a weekend as I could ask for, except it would have been nice if the Texans had shown a little bit better yesterday. But
hey, maybe they'll learn a lesson from it, Fred.
I don't think they're going to listen to me.
No.
I'm just saying
maybe they learned a lesson from the experience.
Yeah, but we'll get to college football, too, because I think that's a very interesting weekend and not a good weekend for the SEC.
Quickly, before we continue on football, IPN pools, effing Cowboys before Astros? Yep. Pretty much all football before all baseball. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is Texas.
Hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. When you guys start getting 40,000 back out there,
yep,
and the ratings here are higher than a Cowboys game, which they're not, then, yeah, maybe you'll get to be first. Hey, nice win. They got a nice win yesterday. It saved what was a really crappy weekend.
Yeah. They bail out of getting swept every series, and we're supposed to celebrate them?
Yeah.
Nah,
I mean,
nah, bro.
Honestly, and this one here, you got four with the Rangers, you better get out of there with a split. Otherwise, I mean, I don't.
You know. We'll talk about the Astros later in the show. We're busy now, though. Football, it's football season.
Yeah,
man,
come on,
guys.
It's the first weekend of NFL. I mean, this is. And it was a great day of football yesterday and a great weekend.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. I mean, some of the college stuff, yeah. Thank you, John.
Been a long time since we heard the cat.
Yeah. Since Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Almost two whole days. All right, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And if you want to get in on the Texans or any of this, be happy to take your calls. And I just think, you know, it's one of those, the easy thing to do is overreact and say this team has a bunch of issues and it's going to be a problem. But the reality is, the first week is never really a good indicator. And I expect them to get better on offense, especially when they get Arian Foster back. Unless this is what Brian Hoyer is. If it is, then it's going to be a long season. But defensively, I think they can clean some things up. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think the Titans are going to go 14-2. I don't think the Colts are going to go 3-13, despite the way they got ran out of the building yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Texans are going to go 2-14 because they got beat by a pretty good team that I think wins that division. I mean, that's a very well-coached, solid football team that doesn't beat itself. And that's what the Texans are trying to be, and that's not what they were yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I like to think, you know, that I'm not an overreaction guy. I don't want to think that the Texans are the worst team in football. I don't think that they are. I thought the Chiefs were a pretty good team coming into this thing. You think they're going to win their division?
Yeah.
This is not a junk loss. You know, they didn't just go and lose to the Jaguars or, you know,
right.
It could be worse. They didn't lose against the Raiders. I mean, this is a really good team who came into their house and just kind of
were better prepared
and really also were in better health and.
Yeah.
Just showed up and played right.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's – if you were to take Jamal Charles off the Chiefs the way the Texans have had Aaron Foster, I think you might see a different game. But the truth is – I think there were some coaching issues that we saw early last season that they did correct as the year went on. But I would have thought year two, you wouldn't have made those kind of mistakes.
Right.
I don't understand the need to try to pass the ball from deep in your own end early in a game on first down. And that was the kind of thing that got them in trouble last year a couple of times. There are times when you just, hey, first series, let's just get the ball out of here a little bit before we do something that could easily become catastrophic, especially with that guy starting at quarterback. And those are the kind of calls that wind up coming back to bite you. I think, you know, they didn't get any breaks on those interference calls. They should have gotten at least one of them. I thought they were both clearly interference, but I they're going to miss those. Refs miss them all the time. That's why they should be reviewable.
Wow. I had to, you know, I understand they got behind early, but it was 14-6, and you know, at the end of the first quarter, you're still not out of the game. I don't really see an excuse for 21 run plays to 47 pass plays.
Yeah.
That's something that I understand you're playing from behind a lot of the game. I get that. But that number should have never been allowed to get that way. I mean, you should have been running the ball. That's what this team's identity has to be, whether or not Arian Foster is hurt or not, because the team's identity offensively can't be the quarterback.
No, you can't. You can't. And I realize some of that was being behind, especially when it gets to be 27-9. You don't have much choice. But when it was still close, yeah, they went away from it too much. And I just think, especially the way he was playing quarterback, I think he had to try to run the ball more. They were finding some yards out there. Every one of those guys had decent numbers.
Yeah.
They just didn't use them enough.
All right, guys, got to tell you about the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. If you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about my good friends over at Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. They're part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive, and they're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed a system to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugar Land, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front. And they've got 20 physicians there that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com, where you'll learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715, for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Information of a criminal. Give me yours and give me the
others. Switch. Switch. This is The Blitz on ESPN 90.
Tiffany Terrell.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. And we talk a little college football here for a bit because
can I get some good news to Texans fans before we move on to that?
Sure. That'd be great.
If you're upset about Brian Hoyer's performance, just know that the number one overall pick in the draft had a worse day than Brian Hoyer. So... it could have been worse.
He did.
You could have taken that guy number one overall and then had him play like Brian Hoyer did, and you'd be going, this is what we've got for the next 4 or 5 years. But at least with Brian Hoyer, you know, this is, you know.
But again, and that's the whole overreaction thing is, oh, Jameis Winston's garbage. Well, I'm not a big Jameis Winston fan anyway, so I don't know that that's going to work out, but I'm not writing him off after 1 week. I mean, that's, yeah, so much changes in this league from week to week, and especially early in the season. I don't know what to think of him. Just like I'm not ready to put Marcus Mariota in the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, I was basically making a joke. To let you know it can all be, but it could be worse.
It could be worse. All right, let's talk a little college football because not the best week for the SEC.
No,
you know the nice comeback from Oklahoma, who was playing like absolute garbage, and managed to come back and beat Tennessee. That's a good win for them. That Auburn game, what
really
the
an embarrassing loss for Tennessee. They, you know, they should feel about like the Giants feel right now. Like
yeah, they had that game away. Yeah, what the hell was Auburn doing?
I have no idea.
And I didn't
call me suckered because I thought Auburn. To me, they looked like they were poised for a big year, and maybe they still are. But that doesn't bode well.
Overtime to a 1AA school at home.
Yeah,
and it was funny because we were watching the UH game, and then we did. So I didn't get to see any of it until it actually made it to overtime, and then we switched over to watch it. And of course, they pulled it out, but that's embarrassing. And Arkansas, what the hell were you doing?
You know, I thought that Arkansas was ready to, you know, kind of take that next step and get back into the SEC West conversation. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, that's just an embarrassing showing by them too. So, really, the SEC. I'm trying to think of who impressed me in the SEC.
You can't count Ball State against A&M. We knew A&M was going to house them. It's just like
– I mean, LSU, that's a good win for LSU.
LSU, good win for them, especially since they didn't get a game last week.
Ole Miss looked good.
Yeah, Ole Miss looked very good, which that makes that Ole Miss-Alabama game this week look really
– And Ole Miss punishing and Fresno is – I mean, you know, they're obviously not a Power 5 school, but they're a decent program. That's its, you know, 73-21. You feel good about that win. For the most part, though,
but even Georgia struggled with Vanderbilt most of the game.
Yep.
Pulled away late, but
it just wasn't the kind of. And listen, you don't expect every team to play perfect football every week. I get it. And obviously, the SEC is not immune to those weeks. They're still the best football conference. Nothing's changed there. But it was a bit of a stumble for them.
Yeah, I think my favorite game was, I don't want to say who it was on our bets that we did that took Ohio State minus 42.5 and didn't cover.
No,
poor John.
John knew that was a bad idea.
He did okay, though. He had a pretty good week.
That's good.
So I went 5-0, and then I have the Vikings tonight as my last one.
All right.
So it was a pretty good weekend.
I don't know what I did. I know I lost the Raiders, and I'm sure I lost all my college football games.
I think you were 3-3, and I think John was 4-2. Is that right, John? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so now to be fair, I think three of those five, two of them were backdoor covers, and one of them was a lucky cover, but I'll take it.
Yeah, you take them all.
Heck yeah, because it goes the other way on you. It always does. But, yeah, I thought USC, I know they weren't playing anybody, but they've looked pretty good through two games out there. BYU.
They're going to drub Stanford next week, by the way. That number opened at 8 points.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I may have to jump on that. Again, BYU, I'm telling you, this is it's a pretty solid football team. And 21 points in the fourth quarter to beat Boise. That backup quarterback, I know he hasn't played much, but that guy's pretty good.
Yep.
And I think if he gets some more reps, that's a team to keep an eye out. But I thought Oklahoma, probably the best win of the week in terms of, you know, going in and beating a school that really shouldn't have beaten and get it on the road. That was nice for them.
I'll give Michigan State some credit.
Pretty good, too.
You beat Oregon, that's always a good thing.
Yeah. That game, that's another one, could have gone either way, though. And I like seeing teams like this play each other because those are both good football teams that I think could still accomplish a lot the rest of the season. I'm not going to punt on Oregon just yet. I think Notre Dame's in real trouble now after barely beating Virginia and losing their quarterback for the year.
Yeah, that's rough.
So,
and I knew that Virginia would give them a hard time. It's a sandwich game. They had Texas last week. They've got Georgia Tech next.
Yep.
This is a game they could have easily overlooked, but because knowing Virginia's really, really bad. But you lose your quarterback, good luck. Sure would be nice to have Everett Golson right now, huh?
Yeah, maybe you should have tried a little harder to keep that guy. And your Bevos bounced back with a win over Rice, who at least backdoor covered.
There you go.
But, yeah.
Maybe they found their quarterback. I don't know. The defense still looks terrible. You can't let Rice run up and down on you. I mean, the time of possession was insane. And most of it was because Texas was scoring on explosive plays. But a lot of it was also because Texas couldn't get Rice off the field. Rice was running the ball effectively.
And they had some – the Owls had a really bad, bad turnover that led to points for the Horns, and that's one of the reasons why the game got out of hand. But at least from a Texas perspective, as we were saying all last week, if they don't win this thing, then this season's going to spiral out of control in a hurry. So at least they got back on the right side of the ledger. And know, so, but I thought overall it was an interesting weekend, and we got some good games coming up this week too. So, anyway, good for your Hornets.
Yeah, Greg said my Lamar Cardinals held their own for a little while at least. They did.
They did.
Gave Baylor some trouble. Bad look for Baylor.
Yeah, although, yeah, I'm actually coming around a little more on Baylor than, you know, I know it was Lamar and they weren't, you know, they're supposed to crush him. But I do think that kid they got playing quarterback is going to be pretty good.
Everybody,
I know
everybody that plays quarterback there is going to do pretty good.
I know, system deal. Mon asked, do you feel Louisville beat themselves by not switching quarterbacks earlier? And it seemed like Ward elevated his play after the change. I don't think so because, the kid they brought in did okay, but I think the UH defense was a little worn down by then. But you know what? I thought UH was a better team the entire game. Even when they were behind, they missed two field goals early. They get inside the 10 twice and don't come away with points. And I thought they were moving the ball really well. And defensively, they were making plays. And the kickoff returns what kind of turned it around. And when they got that, I was telling everybody there, they're going to win this game. They're better than them. And it wound up being close. It's not easy to go in and beat a team like that. But I was a little surprised it took them as long as it did to take Jackson out because he could take off running, but, man, he could not complete a pass to save his life.
Now, a couple weeks ago, someone said, what are the odds that UH will start out the season 5-0? And you said almost no chance because you couldn't see a way for them to beat Louisville on the road. Now that they've done that, how good can they be? Are you starting to get excited? Is a game like that kind of –
Well,
you know,
depending on what happens with some other teams, I think there's a chance that they're going to be favored almost every game the rest of the way, which ought to tell you something.
They very well could be.
So I think they've got some games that are going to be sneaky tough coming up. But, I like their chances. And it's a well-coached football team. And I was telling somebody Saturday, after all this time of watching the Levine era and how they were so close so many times against teams that were better than them or equal – and they never did win those games.
Yeah.
Well, this one they went and won. So, look, I also, when people were asking how I would bet it, I was saying UH all along because it was a sandwich game for Louisville coming off Auburn, and they had Clemson next week. So I thought that was to UH's advantage, but I didn't think it was to their advantage in winning the football game.
Right.
Thought
to it was their advantage in covering the
exactly,
spread. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was impressed as hell, and I'm real encouraged. I can't wait to go see them play Texas State in 2 weeks. So – already got my tickets.
Let's go to the hotline where our man Aubrey Theodi from DFC is with us. How's it going, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. What a beautiful afternoon. I was starting to get that San Diego-esque type weather moving in. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but it is a nice one.
Yeah, they could bottle that there and sell it, huh? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They got the book on natural resources there. If you pick up the phone, friends, and dial 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. You'll get the book on the finest cleaning technology, proprietary technologies. This isn't something you go down to the dime store and buy. Nobody has that truck. Not one human being has a truck like ours. Nobody has our wand. Nobody has our water. Nobody has our Chem-Free pre-spot. When we put those things together and do tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, your wool rugs in your home, you don't have to send them out no more. We'll send a truck and do the wool rugs right there. It doesn't matter if it's on wood, on tile, on marble. We can do them right there in place. This is the technology you want to see for yourself. 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com on the web. Great special, guys. If you pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE. You'll get a family five-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival and a $100 free speed dry. So you get a couple hundred dollars worth of, you know, extras on a $120 job. How can you beat that? 281-DIRT-FREE. If you don't like what we do in the very worst area, we won't bill you. We'll still give you the freebies. We'll come in and give you the free things and leave if we can't save tile or grout or leather. Whatever you have us try, we can't save it. We'll give you the freebies and not charge you.
No reason not to call the guys over at Dirt Free Cleaning. Appreciate it, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thanks, guys.
ESPN.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join us for Monday Night Football at Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring until 7. It's happy hour. Eagles take the field against the Falcons in the first Monday Night Football game of the season. Of course, you have the doubleheader tonight. You also have Vikings and 49ers. So we'll break down both of those at some point today.
Vikings 49ers, a matchup that warrants a time slot all to its own, let me tell you.
Absolutely. Hey, man. Those
should be some really, really good football play tonight.
Especially by those 49ers. Oof. But
yeah.
Hey, can I talk about a couple of positives from the Texans? Because there were some positives.
Okay, yeah, give me the positives,
man. I thought the receiving core in particular looked very, very good. I thought they did a good job of getting open. Didn't always get the ball thrown to them. But Nate Washington in particular, Cecil Shorts, I thought those were good off-season pickups. Those guys made some plays. Probably should have made a couple more if they'd have gotten the interference calls. But in general, I thought that was a positive.
Okay.
I will take that out. And I thought just seeing Clowney on the field is also a positive. I know he didn't have a big statistical impact.
I thought he looked good, though.
But he also had one of J.J. Watt's sacks was specifically because of him. He got consistent pressure. Didn't quite get to the quarterback, but for a first game back in that long, I would say that's a win.
Yeah, I thought he looked very nice. I mean, especially given his health situation, I thought that he looked better than I was expecting him to look, and he played more than I was expecting him to play.
Yeah, I'd been watching him pretty closely in practice, and he looked incredibly explosive the whole time. And I thought, wow, this guy's way ahead of schedule. And I think we saw that on the field. Now, again, it didn't translate into a lot of stats, but long term, I think that's something that's good for everybody. And hopefully he came out of it not hurt too bad, not too sore, because as the season goes on, you're going to need that guy. And if you can start getting something out of him, then I think that's a good thing. I mean, he had one tackle for loss and four total tackles, but I also think he did a good job of forcing some plays that let other guys make plays, and that's kind of what you want. It's funny because I thought Brian Cushing didn't look that great. No, I look at the stat sheet, and he had 10 tackles.
Yeah, he was all over the place. I thought he looked pretty well.
He missed a few, especially in coverage. There were a couple times in coverage where I thought he wasn't where he was supposed to be. But
well, I think that the linebackers in general, and a lot of that's Muhammad not being out there. And,
right.
But Dent and Cushing were both a little bit lost in coverage. But I don't know. It's hard for me to – the defense looked – good. I think they could have been a lot better given the type of offense they were playing against, but it almost didn't matter because the offense put them in bad situations time and again.
Yeah. And
I mean, they basically gave them 14 free points.
Yeah, and you can't do that. Not against anybody. Maybe you can get away with that against Jacksonville. Maybe.
Maybe.
But, the one positive you can always count on is J.J. Watt. The dude he missed a few plays early too. But overall, I mean, he was in that backfield as much as Jamal Charles was.
Yeah.
And so I think those are the positives that I would take out of it. I know those are.
Boy, can we discuss, and it ends up not mattering, but you're missing extra points already?
Guess what? Guess who got to be the first NFL kicker to miss an extra point under the new rules?
Oh.
Congratulations to Randy Bullock.
Oh, Randall.
You are in the record book for life.
Yeah. You're that guy.
Shame.
And I was in the stadium, and so I was hearing Andre talk about he's complaining about the rule and how much he hates the rule and why do we need to change this and all that. It's like, I don't think you'd been complaining if it had been the other guy that missed
it.
But I'm okay with it. I don't if you really want to make them where guys are going to miss, okay. You still shouldn't miss that if you're a kicker. That's a chip shot, especially indoors.
Oh, yeah.
But, congratulations to the Fat Aggie. right when we start thinking, okay, this guy's all right, he goes back to being the Fat Aggie.
Yep.
713-780-ESP is your number. What was that, John?
He was telling me that I need to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. And I'll gladly do just that, guys. Law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a breath test or a blood test. And I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of flawed sciences involved in those police tests. And it's easy for the police to accuse you of being drunk even when you're not. And a lot of things you should know about those tests. The police breath test machines aren't warranted fit for testing on humans. Most states have abandoned the machine that Texas uses because it's just old technology. And it once the machine checks the evidence, it destroys it. So rechecking and proving your innocence is impossible. A lot of inaccuracies about blood testing, too. They're not testing your actual blood like a medical doctor would do. It is simply the air above the blood, which is an indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist. And what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about police tests to juries. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone now. 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.